They were the moments he lived for, when he was really alive and his thoughts flowed like quicksilver and the very air sparkled. Later, that feeling would present its bill. For now, he flew. He was back in the game, but for now, by the light of the burning yesterdays, he waltzed with Miss Dearheart while the scratch band scratched away. Then she went home to bed, puzzled but smiling oddly, and he went up to his office, which was missing the whole of one wall, and got religion as it had never been got before. The young priest of Offla the crocodile god was somewhat off balance at 4 a.m, but the man in the winged hat and golden suit seemed to know what should be happening, and so the priest went along with it. He was not hugely bright, which was why he was on this shift.
"You want to deliver this letter to Offla?" he said, yawning.
An envelope had been placed in his hand. "It's addressed to him," said Moist, "and correctly stamped. A smartly written letter always gets attention. I've also brought a pound of sausages, which I believe is customary. Crocodiles love sausages."
Strictly speaking, you see, it's prayers that go up to the gods," said the priest doubtfully.
The nave of the temple was deserted, except for a little old man in a grubby robe, dreamily sweeping the floor. "As I understand it," said Moist, "the gift of sausages reaches Offla by being fried, yes? And the spirit of the sausages ascends unto Offla by means of the smell. And then you eat the sausages?"
"Aha, no, not exactly, not at all," said the young priest, who knew this one. "It might look like that to the uninitiated, but as you say, the true sausagidity goes straight to Offla. He, of course, eats the spirit of the sausages. We eat the mere earthly shell, which, believe me, turns to dust and ashes in our mouths."
"That would explain why the smell of sausages is always better than the actual sausage, then," said Moist. "I've often noticed that." The priest was impressed.
"Are you a theologian, sir?" he said.
"I'm in a similar line of work," said Moist. "But what I'm getting at is this. If you were to read this letter, it would be as though Offla himself was reading it, am I right? Through your eyeballs, the spirit of the letter would ascend unto Offla, and then I could give you the sausages." The young priest looked desperately around the temple. It was too early in the morning. When your god, metaphorically, doesn't do much until the sandbanks have got nice and warm, the senior priests tend to lie in.
I suppose so, he said reluctantly. "But would you rather wait until Deacon Jones gets..."
"I'm in rather a hurry," said Moist. There was a pause. "I've brought some honey mustard," he added. "The perfect accompaniment to sausages." Suddenly the priest was all attention.
"What sort?" he said.
"Mrs. Edith Leacall's Premium Reserve," said Moist, holding up the jar. The young man's face lit up. He was low in the hierarchy and got barely more sausage than Offla.
"God, that's expensive stuff," he breathed.
"Yes, it's the hint of wild garlic that does it," said Moist. "But perhaps I should wait until Deacon..." The priest grabbed the letter and the jar.
"No, no, I can see you are in a hurry," he said. "I'll do it right away. It's probably a request for help, yes?"
"Yes, I'd like Offla to let the light of his eyes and the gleam of his teeth shine on my colleague Tolliver Groat, who is in the Lady Sybil Hospital," said Moist.
"Oh, yes," said the acolyte, relieved. "We often do this sort of...
And I would also like $150,000. Moist went on. "Ankh-Morpork dollars preferred, of course, but other reasonably hard currencies would be acceptable." There was a certain spring in his step as Moist walked back to the ruin of the post office. He'd sent letters to Offla, Om, and Blind Io, all important gods, and also to Anoia, the minor goddess of things that can stick in drawers. Often, but not uniquely, a ladle, but sometimes a metal spatula, or rarely, a mechanical egg whisk that nobody in the house admits to ever buying. The desperate, mad rattling and cries of, "How can it close on the damn thing but not open with it? Who bought this? Do we ever use it?" is as praise unto Anoia. She also eats corkscrews. She had no temple and was handled by a jobbing priestess in Cable Street, but Moist had a feeling that by the end of the day, Anoia was destined for higher things. He only picked her because he liked the name. He'd leave it about an hour. Gods worked fast, didn't they? The post office was no better by grey daylight. About half of the building was still standing. Even with tarpaulins, the area under cover was small and dank. People were milling around, uncertain of what to do. He'd tell them. The first person he saw was George Aggie, heading for him at a high-speed hobble.
"Terrible thing, sir! Terrible thing! I came as soon as..." he began.
"Good to see you, George. How's the leg?"
"What? Oh, feels fine, sir. Glows in the dark."